So today's reading for the message comes from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33 and 44 to 52. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would not be mine, but they would be yours. These words would be received, O God, by those who have ears to listen, not only in their hearts and minds, but deep in their souls, that place where only you and they go. Help us to understand this morning, it is truly the little things. It is the little things we do that help make our faith what it is, that of love, that of affirmation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, so here's the reading. When Jesus got the news, and we'll put parentheses, he's just gotten the news that his cousin, John, has been executed. So there's that as this starts. He slipped away by a boat to an out-of-the-way place by himself. But unsuccessfully, someone saw him and word got around. And soon, a lot of people from the nearby villages walked around the lake to where he was. And when he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and he healed their sick. And toward evening, the disciples approached him. "We're out in the country. It's getting late. Dismiss the people so they can go back to their villages and get some supper." Jesus said, "There is no need to dismiss them. You give them supper." "All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they said. And Jesus said, "Bring them here." And then he had the people sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. The disciples then gave the food to the congregation, and they ate their fill. They gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 were fed. Okay. I think I came up with a catchy title today, you know, for this message, you know, when the math doesn't add up, right? Amen? When it doesn't compute. This certainly doesn't compute, does it? 5,000 people. If you've ever cooked in a kitchen for a big crowd of people, amen, you know that this story does not compute. There is so much about this that just makes us sit back and go, I don't know. I don't know what to really do with this. And then, of course, over the years, we've, as Lance said, we've kind of turned the telling of this tale into a magic show. Amen? That if you're going to really have faith in Jesus, you got to believe this particular magic show. That 5,000 people were fed with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. This is, by the way, just for those of you who want the exegetical setting, this is the only story besides the crucifixion and resurrection that is told in all 4 Gospels. And it's actually told like 6 times. So regardless of what happened that day, something pretty impressive happened because every gospel writer decided that they needed to tell this story. It's a very human setting, obviously. Feeding of the multitude, as we do the exegetical work, we must not forget that our modern communion is based somewhat on this story, is it not? Did you not hear familiar words at the beginning of that story as they began to distribute the food? He broke the bread. Did we not get that later? Is there maybe, for those of you who don't want to take this as a magic show, is there maybe another message underneath? Is there a way that the math does in fact compute. And I looked up some interesting little stories along the way, as you might guess I did. Charles Swindoll. Do you all know who Charles Swindoll is? He's one of those TV preachers.
Yep.
Yeah, he told a story about a 9-year-old named Danny who come bursting out of his Sunday school class like a wild stallion. His eyes were darting in every direction as he tried to locate his mom and dad. And finally, after a quick search, he grabbed his dad by the leg and said, "Man, the story of Moses and all those people crossing the Red Sea was great." His father looked down and smiled and asked the boy to tell him about it. "Well, the Israelites got out of Egypt, but Pharaoh and his army chased after them, and so the Jews ran as fast as they could until they got to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army kept getting closer and closer, so Moses got on his walkie-talkie and told the Israeli Air Force to bomb the Egyptians." "And while this was happening, the Israeli Navy built a pontoon bridge so the people could cross over, and they made it." Now, the father was shocked and looked at his boy in complete disbelief and said, "Did they really teach you that story?" And Danny said, "Well, not exactly. But if I told you the way they told it to us, you wouldn't believe that either." Another story. A couple, after months of hard work and savings, it came time for them to open up their own restaurant. And all they needed was the final health inspection and the issuing of their business permit. This was scheduled for the first thing in the morning. And then our place, as they were going to call the restaurant, would be in business. But that morning, the winds and the rains of Hurricane Hugo hit, unexpectedly making its way almost 200 miles inland to their North Carolina town. Trees were uprooted, power lines were down, homes and stores were destroyed, and the couple hurried to their restaurant, and everything, praise God, was intact. A deputy sheriff pulled up and told them that their restaurant, the fire station next door, and the service station down the road were the only ones that had electricity. And the couple called the health inspector to come immediately so they could open. But because of the power outage, the health inspector couldn't get into his office to issue the permit. No permit, no business, no opening. And with a refrigerator that was stocked with 300 pounds of bacon and beef and bushels of tomatoes, lettuce, and bread, there was only one thing to do. That was to give the food away. They told the deputy, "Tell your coworkers and other emergency people you see, we will have free BLTs and coffee for anybody who wants to drop by." Pretty soon, firemen, policemen, linemen, and other workers and volunteers were filing into our place. And when the couple had heard that another restaurant was scalping people by charging $10 for 2 eggs, toast, and bacon, they placed a sign in their window that said, "Free BLTs, free coffee. Family, travelers, and street people are welcome." Then something began to happen. People started to clean the counters in the restaurant. They swept the floors. Volunteers took to washing dishes. Some even went to the grill to cook. Hearing about what was going on at our place from the local radio station, people from the neighboring town that had not been too badly hit by the storm brought food from their freezers, and stores and dairies sent over chicken and milk and foodstuffs of all kinds. And so the long day went. The first cups of coffee and BLT somehow stretched, are you ready for this? 16,000 meals. The restaurant's small stock increased by 500 loaves of bread, cases of mayonnaise, 350 pots of coffee, and a bushel of produce. The math doesn't compute, does it? Someone pointed out to me this week that instead of talking about this story as the multiplication of loaves and fishes, that we really ought to talk about it as being division of the loaves. Now, I don't know. This may be seemingly like a distinction without a distinction that we don't need to make, right? One way or another, people were fed. But there is an important piece here, and this is the message that you need to get this morning. We all live in a world where we want to do major, big, glorious things. I think about a home for everyone. Three people at a time in that house. Three people. There are thousands of homeless in this town. And you could get frustrated because maybe we could have a six-story building with all these apartments and get everybody off the street. But no, we're in a position where there's only three that we get. But for those three folk, it means everything. You see, I think the message of this story is not so much about the big miracle as much as the writers are trying to get us to understand. It starts with small stuff. It starts with being willing to share. What little thing can you do for your neighbor? What little thing can you do for your friend? What little thing can you do for your family? You know, it's why St. Francis said, go and preach the gospel. Amen? And if necessary, use words. This is what this is about. This is why this math really does compute. Because the message this morning is that in the breaking of the bread, we bring people in. That is what the message of the church should always be about. Not, I can't, we can't, we won't. And when we can't and when we won't, we make up rules so that we don't get overwhelmed. Amen?
Welcome home.
Take a look at what we do in this park. We have no idea from one week to the next what's going to happen. And yet somehow or another, we have found a way, because of the love that Christ has for us and we have for Christ, to just kind of go with the flow. Do whatever's needed. By the way, I will give you a theological truth this morning. The Christian church didn't come about so that we could be about fixing people. The Christian church came about, as Jesus taught, to meet the need. Did you hear what happened at the beginning of this story? Jesus looked out into the crowd and he had compassion. He had pity. There was a need. And when the disciples did like we do, oh man, this job is too big. We got to find a way to get out of this situation, if you will. So let's send them away. Send them home. We're done for the day. And Jesus said, no. You can do this. You can do this.
We should do this.
Do it.
You know, I was doing good too. You brought that up. And for our folks that are don't know, one of the things that they talked about, Pastor James, yesterday was Pastor James had this ability to take the impossible and listen to that story and then look it dead in the eye and say, you know what, we should do this. No matter how crazy it was, they've got a toy park over in Decatur, because Pastor James said, we should do this. They have a Christmas tree sale that people are already lining up for their Christmas trees. And the money that goes from that goes straight back into the community, because the pastor said, in the spirit of this story, we should do this. We are in the park. How crazy is that to dare to be a church that has no walls, no protection, no boundaries?
A deacon said we should do this.
Yeah. And one of our deacons several years ago looked out from our old office over here into the park and basically said, we should do this.
I know that.
That is the lesson. That is what makes Matthew's story today and the math compute. Three things to take out of this. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. We are here to serve at the table of God. And finally, and most importantly, whatever your ability, whatever your gift, whatever it is that God has given you, it's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. So I think this morning, in honor of my friend, we should do this. God bless you.